You're listening to the Bon Appetit Foodcast. I'm Adam Rappaport. All right, today's show, Gwyneth Paltrow, who was on our cover about 5 years ago, June 2011, just as we were relaunching the brand. And here it is 5 years later, we're checking back in with her. Gwyneth stopped by and we talked about her new cookbook, It's All Easy, and her kids, what she's been cooking, whether she can get back into film, all that good stuff. But that's not all. Also on today's episode, senior editor Joya Kramer and I get on the phone with deputy editor Andrew Knowlton, who is researching our best new restaurants list for our September issue. He and Kramer do so together. Well, he was like literally on the road. We called him and he didn't even pull over, just talking on his cell phone. We check in with Knowlton, see how much he's been eating and drinking, and seeing how his search is going for the Hot 10, America's Best New Restaurants. But now let's check out me and Gwyneth Paltrow. All right, GP, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
You got a new book out?
I do.
It's All Easy.
It is.
It is. that's what I was like, is it really? That's one of those things in the magazine biz. You know, they always like, easy is one of those words you're always supposed to put on every cover. And I'm always sort of arguing with my test kitchen editors, like, is this recipe actually easy? Are we making it too hard? Like, what were your parameters when you were working on this book to like, what qualified and what didn't?
I didn't want an ingredients list that was a mile long, because that's just daunting. Even though, you know, it's not actually that hard to add like one dash of 10 things.
Yeah.
It just seems hard. And I wanted it to feel a little bit lighter and a little bit more like, oh, I can manage this, because it's not going to be 150 things in the recipe. And that it wasn't, there weren't really complicated steps. I mean, I tried to make them all on the faster side, but some of them take longer, but they're not difficult to prepare.
What sort of things that take longer cooking time, but doesn't mean they're hard, like a simple braise or something?
Exactly.
I do think the visuals is interesting. When you look at a recipe that has a lot of ingredients, a lot of people immediately almost recoil.
Exactly.
And so this is your third cookbook in like 5 years.
Gosh.
That's an impressive clip. And you did this one with Thea Bauman, your food editor at Goop. Mm-hmm. You did the previous two with Julia Turchin?
Yes. The first one I really did by myself.
Uh-huh. And that was My Father's Daughter, which is a very personal book. And we put you on the cover of BA back in June, which is 2011. It was interesting. When I picked up that book, and we'll go there. I had wanted to put someone on the cover of the magazine. I had just taken over as editor-in-chief. And to me, it was important that we made a statement that food was about more than just what's on the plate, but it's about your relationships, your family, your friends. They're, you know, literally put a face to it. And then your book came across my desk, and, you know, a lot of people were like, well, what does Gwyneth Paltrow know about cooking? And she's an actress, and you've dealt with this stuff all the time. But it's like, and then I actually read the book, and you're like, it was beautifully written, and there was like, personal and anecdotal, and, you know, it just like, it just rang true. And then the recipes are like, oh, I'd make that. Yeah, I would make that. And I don't know, I thought you and Julia just did a great job at sort of presenting the kind of recipes that people wanted to make. At the time, what made you think that, okay, I can write a cookbook? Like, where did that come from? Where did that confidence and did you have, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I had been thinking about it for a long time. I have cooked for a long time. I learned to cook out of books. I taught myself how to cook. For me, the association of exactly what we were talking about, the love for my father, we learned to cook together. We would experiment with recipes. We ate out together all the time. I was so connected to him through food, and I was still really mourning the loss of him. And I had been wanting to do it for a long time. And so when Mario Batali asked me, well, actually, I forced him to let me be in Spain on the road again and go do that trip. And I started to go home and make recipes, and because we were doing that book, and I was writing down what I was doing, and it really started to crystallize for me. And then when I set out to do My Father's Daughter, it was coming from a very deep place. Like, it was just kind of brimming out of me. And it was the food that I made all the time, recipes that I had. And then I invented new recipes for the book. And every single recipe in that book I made from scratch by myself, tested. Julia would retest and retest. And that was really the impetus, you know, that idea of what he taught me, the way that he would express his love through food when he would make me dinner or make us all dinner or make pancakes and have my godparents over and my best friends and their parents. And I had such a visceral connection. And I just wanted to, I don't know, immortalize it somehow.
I mean, it's interesting because I notice this with my own writers on staff. You can tell when someone really cares about what they're writing about. It comes through very clearly on the page, you know, right. when the writer's really invested in it. Was it challenging then with the second and third book? It's All Good was your second book, and then Now It's All Easy, where you didn't have that really personal statement you wanted to make. Now you're a cookbook author. Right. You've got another book to write. That's got to be a bit more challenging, right?
It was very different. But it was still personal to me in that I was dealing with some health issues. My son was dealing with eczema. And all of a sudden, it was like people were saying, oh, I'm gluten intolerant and I can't eat egg or whatever. And I was like, wow, people are really wrestling with what to eat if they really want to eat clean food, you know? And that book came to me because I was having some health issues and I was doing an elimination diet. And by like day three, I was like, if I make myself a fucking scoop of brown rice again, I'm going to kill someone. Like, I was like, there has to be food that tastes like food that's clean. It has to be true.
It's called avocado.
All right. And interestingly enough, my ex-husband, Chris, had hired Julia Tershin at the time to come and cook for Coldplay in London for a few weeks to really cook clean food and lean them out. And so we were doing recipes for Goop and stuff like that. And I would, you know, she was like making a salad and then taking the rest down to the Coldplay studio. I said, this is the book.
But that's like, fascinating, the fact that rock stars want healthy food. Yeah. You know, like this is the fact that we've gotten to that point, you know, there has to be a market for it now.
Yeah.
You know, if a band wants to eat well, you're like, okay. So you did that book. And I guess what I was curious about, like, you know, I'm kind of going all over the place right now.
Go for it.
You know, so you launched Goop.com in 2008. Mm-hmm. At the time, were you thinking, oh, I just want to kind of launch this digital newsletter, it'll be fun? Or did you really have a roadmap for over the next 8 years? Are you where you thought you'd be back in 2008? Because you're kind of this new, you're a sort of lifestyle kingpin now. Or someone who was an actress, you've taken a very different career path.
Thank you. I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, you've done it. So I just, what did you plan that? Or has it just kind of the momentum built?
The answer to that question is I'm not entirely sure. I had sort of done this exhaustive film career. I had had kids. I was fortunate enough to be in the position where I could be home for a couple of years and look after my kids. And, you know, I had sort of been the person for years and years that my friends would call and say, like, I have a guy coming for dinner. How do I roast a chicken? Like, I'm going to Paris for my dad's birthday. Where should we eat? You know, I had.
But the public didn't know that. To the public, you were this tall blonde actress who won an Academy Award. Like, what does she know about cooking?
Right.
So that's how did you make that leap to like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go for it. And people have to just deal with it.
I don't know. I just, you know, with many things that I've done in my life, I look back and I think, why did I have the audacity to do that? You know, whether it's being 22 years old and playing Emma in, you know, like this beloved heroine of Jane Austen and being this 22-year-old American girl and not thinking twice about it, or, you know, launching Goop. It's like sometimes in hindsight, I look back and I think, why did I do that? Why did I think I could do that?
So, I mean, so where is your head at nowadays in terms of, is an acting career, is that kind of a back burner thing? Is that still share space with Goop and cookbooks and all that sort of stuff? Or, like, you know, where, how do you prioritize what you do now?
At the current time, you know, we are so focused on scaling the company and it requires 100% of my time. And between that and my kids, I think for right now, it would be pretty hard for me to do a film. I mean, I just signed on.
You're not doing Iron Man 9 or something?
I may be doing something like that. But, you know, at this point, like, I said to myself, you know, in 2016, I should try to film something. I don't know if that's realistic. I definitely in 2017, I already have something that I'm going to do then.
Do you think you need to sort of maintain your profile?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, people say you should because the more that you kind of reinforce your brand as an actress, the more you can leverage that brand for your business. I don't know. We'll see. My hope is that very soon Goop will be very much its own entity. Yeah. And that's why I didn't name it Gwyneth Paltrow Life or whatever. Yeah. You know, I really want it to be its own business, and I, the less that it's associated with me, the better, even though that's all I do.
In case you get sent to jail or something like Martha. Well,
you never know.
I couldn't resist. Sorry. but no, it's interesting because I look at someone like Justin Timberlake, and he's interesting in that he's sort of like created this sort of career of being Justin Timberlake. And it's like he doesn't record that many albums anymore, but he's acting, he's appearing on Fallon, he's doing all these things. And like it's just we're in this age where you can do more than just be an actor or be a musician.
It's well, kinda, I think if you look at how the internet has changed everything and how everything is not only so democratized, but all the distribution channels are so different. Everything's changing so rapidly. Everything's so immediate. And I think when all of those old-fashioned ideas kind of get knocked down about what you can and can't do, what you're allowed to do, and all the borders sort of go with all the new media, anything's really possible. You know, you can shape a career any way that you want to.
And you kind of do it yourself. I think it's interesting. It's All Easy by Goop Press. And you were just saying before we went on air that just, you know, you can now sell this book on your website. You can autograph copies and sell them. It's, you know, so you don't necessarily need to rely on Amazon or a bookstore.
Right. It's kind of an amazing thing to be able to do that and to have your own distribution channel. And it's incredible. I mean, I feel like we're kind of in this new world where we're doing that kind of thing. But I like it.
It's very cool. So I'm flipping through the book. All right, the book's beautiful.
Thank you.
Shot it with Dita Issiger, who's one of our favorite photographers here at Bon App. Although we don't get, now that she lives in Europe and has a child, we get a lot less Dita than we would like. Did you shoot the book in London, or where
did
you shoot it?
Yeah. We shot it last summer in London, and we actually went to Paris one day too.
Oh, what the hell? Why not?
And you know, it's a train ride. What are you going to do? So we shot it a lot at my house in London, and then in Hampstead Heath and the Marylebone Cheese Shop, which is my favorite place in the world. That's where the cover was shot.
Yeah, and Susie Theodora did the food styling, and it's just you want to make everything.
She does more than that. I honestly couldn't do cookbooks without Susie. She is the backbone of the whole operation. You know, she conceives of things that, you know, she's just unbelievable. Yeah, you know,
I think, you know, food stylists are interesting because, you know, at Bon Appetit, we obviously use a food stylist for all our shoots, but it's changed a lot because I think back in the day, there was this notion that they were there with tweezers and painting turkeys with, like shellacking them. But now they're more like artists, and they sort of give a dish its personality, and they're actually, it's real food, and they're sort of just giving it some love and making you want to eat it.
And she also was helping us name all the chapters. Yeah. And I mean, she's really unbelievable. She organizes the whole production. I mean, she's beyond a food stylist.
The book itself, right? It's All Easy. In your introduction, you talk about a lot about this sort of busy lifestyle that we're all leading right now. And not only busy, I find it's also kind of like just an ADD lifestyle. I mean, I check my iPhone every 26 seconds for Twitter or Instagram or emails or texts. And just that sort of that ability to slow down a little bit and like focus on cooking. You know, how often, like I said, the question I get most, and this is a rambling question, is like, how often do you cook? And I'm like, I don't know, probably a couple of nights my wife and I cook, a couple of nights we order in, a couple of nights we go out. Like, what's your typical rhythm when you're in one city for an extended period?
It depends what city.
Yeah.
In California, I cook a lot. When I'm in New York, I order in a lot.
That's a very
just, go out.
Which is a very New York thing.
You know, and I tend to be really busy when I'm here. I come in and I work and I leave. So, you know, I landed and I ordered Cat's Deli from Caviar, and it was the greatest fucking thing I've ever eaten in my life. So it really depends. In California, I cook a lot. You know, I have lemons growing outside. Yeah. I have an herb garden. I have all kinds of different lettuces. I have a house.
Yeah.
And I have a barbecue and a rotisserie. It just kind of like lends itself to really cooking more. And I'd say I cook, you know, probably four nights a week. My babysitter cooks sometimes. I go out. Yeah. You know, it's sort of a mishmash.
How old are your kids now?
They are, my son turned 10 last week. And my daughter will turn 12 next month.
When did you, so I have an 8-year-old son. And the challenge my wife and I have with him is always that notion of, eating together as a family. And you constantly, you're always being told it's so important to eat together as a family. And well, it's tough when I get home from work at 7 and he's hungry at 6.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I want to have a moment to unpack my head and have a cocktail and actually eat at 8. How have you dealt with sort of family dinner, and is how hard or easy is that?
Well, when they were really little, it was impossible. And then I started doing it, you know, because exactly, they want to eat at 6. So then on the weekends, I started eating early with them. And it's kind of, we still do it. Like Sunday night, we eat at 6 o'clock. And on the weekdays, you know, now they come home and they have activities. And they have a big snack when they come home. Like I'll make them chips and guac, or, you know, we'll go to pick up this at the Brentwood Mart around the corner. They have this insane like chicken and french fries place. So they get that once a week after school. But they like a big snack after school and quesadillas or whatnot, chili.
Are they more salty kids than sweet kids?
Yes, they're both more salty kids than sweet kids. So in more ways than one. No, just kidding. And so if we're eating at home, we'll all eat together, you know, but I eat earlier. Like I eat at 6:30 or 7 o'clock with them.
Although I will say, but it's interesting also, LA is an earlier city than New York. In New York City, people will go out to dinner at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
In LA, everyone's at dinner at 7.
It's true. Although it is changing in LA now. We have such a huge influx of people moving to LA from New York and from international cities. Yeah, yeah. And you can really feel
That's interesting.
And you can feel it when you go out to like the sort of it spots. Like it's packed now at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And it did not
it
used
did
to
not,
be like
no,
that.
No, it didn't. If you had to name 3 favorite dishes in the book.
You know, I love the miso clams recipe. It's a recipe that I came up with because, you know, early on, it was this idea of like, the food is easy, but it's not a grilled chicken breast.
Yeah.
Like, it's surprising. It's delicious. Thea did a like a deconstructed chicken wonton soup. Mm. So she didn't make all the wontons into one. So it's like little... the wrappers are floating in the soup.
Oh, cool.
And I love that one. That's I thought that was ingenious.
So you just buy the wrappers and just throw them in there like sheets of pasta and
totally.
Italian soup. That's cool.
And it's delicious.
Yeah.
You got
one more.
I did one early on as well. This 3 mustard chicken that's incredibly delicious.
And how's that one made?
It's 3 kinds of mustard and you basically slather it on and bake it. And it's delicious. And every time I serve it, I always do it for guests because you can do like big sheets of it and it's so easy. And
what do you like to serve it with typically?
You know, I'm a big simple green salad on the side person, and then whatever vegetables in season. Yeah. And we're so lucky in California. The farmer's market is literally brimming with vegetables and it's incredible. You just do nothing, just steam something for a second and a little butter or oil. And that's it.
The better the ingredients, the less you have to do to them.
It's true.
One last thing about the book, which I thought was interesting, you have the pantry section in the beginning of the book, and this is also something we deal with at BA nowadays. You know, you're talking about canned goods and oils and condiments and stuff you'll see appearing in the book. And it's fascinating nowadays how international the American pantry has come.
I know.
And you've got dashi, you have kimchi, you have miso, you have ponzu, you know, obviously sriracha. But it's like you can go to the deli in the corner right now and buy kimchi in New York.
Totally.
You know, like sriracha is everywhere. Miso is like fish sauce.
Yes.
Fish sauce is the new soy sauce. And it's
exactly.
like that stuff, which is actually very easy to cook with because I don't want to say you're cheating, but it adds instant flavor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that in Asian food, that's a hack that they discovered thousands of years ago. It's one little ingredient that adds a flavor profile that's incredible. And it's literally a dash of this and a dash of that.
Yeah, exactly. It's all easy. You can buy it on goop.com.
Or
anywhere else. But, you know, go to the source if you want. Lightning round. We're going to hit you with some quick either or questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Hard-boiled or soft-boiled?
Soft-boiled.
How many minutes typically if you're...
I mean, what I do is I put an egg in cold water, and when it gets to the boil, I time 3 minutes.
Okay, interesting.
And then it's sort of like halfway between soft and...
That kind of ramen sort of egg?
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is like sometimes when you drop it in the boiling water and then it'll
crack. The egg cracks.
Yeah, then you have that weird white stuff oozing out.
Yeah, so if you put it in the cold water, it never cracks.
All right, this is a New York question.
Okay.
Beach or city?
Beach.
Beach.
At this point.
Yeah.
I'm old and tired, Adam.
Tequila shot or margarita?
Tequila shot.
Do you have a type of a favorite type or?
I like the 1942.
Okay. This is a funny one, and okay. I'm not even sure what the second part of this question is, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
All right.
Caftan or maxi dress?
Maxi dress.
What is a maxi dress?
It's a dress exactly? that skims the floor.
Oh, yeah, those sort of things. Yeah. They're very kind of like that sort of
yes.
hippie-ish. Bohemian. But yeah, bohemian, Laurel Canyon-y sort of vibes.
Exactly.
But then doesn't the bottom always get dirty after each wear? Or it's,
I suppose
or,
so.
Yeah, but it's not like a gown, so it's not
but
like
you're
precious.
A hippie, so you don't
You're like,
mind.
Yeah, whatever. Care. Green juice or matcha?
Matcha.
Are you a matcha every day sort of person?
I love matcha. Not every day, but a lot of days.
Is it like a morning thing or an afternoon thing?
It's an afternoon. Uh-huh. It's like that 4 o'clock. Yeah. I'm starving and I'm trying not to eat a bag of pretzels.
I know you like these. Fish tacos, grilled or fried?
Fried, unfortunately.
Yeah, they're so good though,
oh,
right?
Oh my God.
Like a little cabbage dream and all
food.
That stuff.
Yeah.
This was a question. I know this goes back to your first book and your dad. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Now, your go-to pancake recipe, are you the type that will do the overnight sort of thing and raw, or do you do a quick?
You know, I do it in the morning. Cup of flour, one egg, cup of milk, baking soda, salt, sugar, melted butter, yogurt.
Oh, yogurt. Interesting.
Yeah.
What does that add richness or what does it add to it?
It gives it this like tang.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I like that. This is just a simple one. Chocolate or vanilla?
Vanilla.
Really?
I don't like chocolate that much.
Wow. I never liked chocolate ice cream as a kid. I always felt like chocolate ice cream was too bitter or something.
It's a character flaw. I just don't love it. Like I like gummy bears and shit like that.
Yoga or Pilates?
Neither.
Neither. What are you doing these days?
I do Tracy Anderson. Uh-huh. I love to dance and do her thing. It works for me so well, so I don't mess with it.
Last question, butter or olive oil?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
but
really.
They're both essential. For what?
That's an open-ended question. You tell me. You set your own parameters, young lady.
Oh my goodness. I think I'm going to go with I think I'll go with butter right now. I'm using butter more now.
Yeah. We're talking about waffles and pancakes
yeah,
and stuff.
And yeah, and my son loves butter.
God bless him.
I mean, I have to spread like an inch of butter on his toast in the morning.
As long as it's some good stuff. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Gwyneth Paltrow, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All right, Norton, we're rolling. Where are you? I literally have no idea what city you're in.
I left Durham, North Carolina at like 8:30. So I'm about to go through Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm on 85 South, 40 West.
Are you driving right now?
Yeah, I'm driving.
Are you hands-free, I hope?
Yeah, I'm hands-free. And I'm going to Asheville, North Carolina. So it's about a three-hour drive.
All right. Now, for the listeners, we also have the very talkative Julia Kramer with us. Let's actually talk some food. So you're from, is it the Research Triangle? Is that what they call Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill?
Yeah, Triangle, big biotech industry. So I was there for 2 days. I'd come from Richmond, Virginia, which is where I started this kind of southern road trip. And like I said, going to Asheville and then on to Atlanta after today. And the eyes on the prize today is at the end of this three-hour drive, I get to have whole hog barbecue at this place that Julia Kramer's actually been to and didn't love, but you can't take a Yankee's word for southern barbecue, so I'm going to verify her research.
Yeah.
I liked it. I recommended that you go there.
Not just a Yankee, but a Midwestern Yankee, like a Midwestern. So wait, since when is the Research Triangle a food destination? Because I didn't even know that would be something on your map.
Well, before you were born, when I was working at Bon Appetit, I did a story on the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area and how it was this budding mecca for kind of the Berkeley of the East, academia and tons of farms around there. Obviously, a lot of hog farms.
Did you have any memorable or interesting meals in the Triangle?
I did. I went to there's two new hotels that have just opened, and I know you can roll your eyes at hotel dining, but the Durham Hotel just opened, which is Andrea Rusing, who owns a place in Chapel Hill called Lantern, and she just took over this old bank building.
Interesting. And what was it? And you said another hotel mill?
And then the 21C, which is a kind of an artsy hotel that has original property in Louisville, one in Cincinnati, one in Bentonville, the home of Walmart, and one in Lexington, Kentucky. So I will say every single restaurant that I've been to so far has steak on the menu, like the ginormous porterhouse that they've aged for thousands of days. Everybody's doing that right now, and nobody's doing it. I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I know, Adam, you're a steak aficionado. A lot of it's grass-fed. It just doesn't have that char. It's just, I don't know, it's become this thing like a burger that you just have to have on your menu. You have to show off with your you know, big steak.
Yeah, I mean, I want to like, I keep wanting to be a proponent of grass-fed steak, and every time I have it, it just doesn't deliver that funk and the tang and the richness of flavor that a typical grain-fed steak does. And I know that's much better for us. It's better for the environment, all that sort of stuff. It's challenging, though. Kramer, have you seen a lot of, have you eaten a lot of steaks when in your restaurant research for the Hot 10 this year?
Actually, not really. I wonder if that's because I was on the West Coast. And last night, out to dinner here, I was at a restaurant that I thought was vegetable-focused, but turned out was actually vegetarian.
Oh, interesting. That'll happen. Yeah, a lot of vegetables, as we've written about, and I think both of you guys have written about in the last few years, restaurants being a lot more vegetable-focused. But I guess, every now and then, there's, no meat.
Speaking of not healthy, the hardest part of traveling in the South is every exit, there's a Bojangles, a Waffle House, a Chick-fil-A, a Biscuitville, or a Popeyes. And it's all I can do not to stop and have, certain ones do, certain chains do certain things really well.
I didn't grow up with Bojangles. I grew up with Popeyes in Washington, D.C. I don't know anything about Bojangles.
Bojangles is chicken, but it's mostly, they invented the spicy chicken filet, like that Chick-fil-A copied, that Wendy's has that spicy chicken filet, and they have, their biscuits are okay. I would say Biscuitville, which is a North Carolina chain, has the best biscuits. And then Popeyes is probably my favorite in the South because their fried chicken, and people might yell at me for this, their fried chicken is some of the best fried chicken you get in this country. I mean, it's so crispy, and their biscuits.
I haven't eaten Popeyes since I was maybe 6 years old. But, Andrew, I was actually thinking about your dining habits because, in my mind, you have so much restraint when you're eating. But from what I've seen on your Instagram feed, you're eating corn dogs, you're eating french fries alone at the bar at night.
He's not finishing them. He's just taking a bite.
Is that true, Andrew?
I will say that this leg of the trip so far has been particularly carby in the places I've been going. I know I didn't finish that corn dog. It was a delicious corn dog. I had two bites. I killed myself on Tuesday. I overdid it. I had country ham biscuit. I had a corn dog. I had a pizza. I had steak. I just had too much. And then, so yesterday I did this, and I hope you're listening, Kramer, is I took a mini sabbatical. I did not eat yesterday until dinner. And I did that. I put that into my itinerary that I had to, it's just like basketball. You can't play back-to-back-to-back games and expect you to be at your best.
With that, Nolan, we can't beat that. So we're going to let you go.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Bye. Andrew.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Belle Cushing and Carrie Polis, with editing by Mitra Kaboli and additional help from Christina Che and Lily Sherman. Our theme music is by Valerie and the Greedies. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us anything about this or any episode, please email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com.